The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this?" They answered, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Amen. Will you please be seated?
Good morning. And happy St. Margaret's Day. This is an important day for us. I've been waiting for this day. This is the first day of what will be for us a 4-year celebration. It seems to me that everywhere I look, especially locally, but even in the whole culture, every time I turn around, someone else is celebrating their 50th anniversary. Now, speaking as someone who is going to turn 50 myself in a little over a year, I think this is very appropriate. But I have to tell you, it seems to me there may have been something in the water 50 years ago. Let me share with you a little bit of our own history as written and edited by our own George Reeves. I edited you down a little here, George. I'm sorry. The year is 1963. 900 years later and a quarter of the way around the world after the death of Margaret of Scotland. In the evening of February 23rd, a meeting was held in the home of John M. Connell in Palm Desert, California, with Dean Dan Baco, Howard Kyler, Malcolm Davis, Mrs. Robert Ricciardi, and my favorite, the one for whom I cannot believe we do not have anything named here, and we will, J.D. Tinklepaw. With God as my witness, the Tinklepaw legacy will endure here at St. Margaret's. The subject was the possible formation of an Episcopal preaching station. Now, a preaching station, you may know, is in some ways an unambitious endeavor. It's what you do when you look at your environs and you say, "This is nice. The gospel is not reaching the ends of the earth. The part of the gospel for which we have responsibility has not reached as far as it needs to go." And so the people of Palm Springs, our friends back at St. Paul in the desert, realized that it was important to spread the gospel down here in what was at that time the hinterland. A place that only had one stoplight down there at the corner of 74 and 111. These were the boonies. And they got going. By April, a second meeting was held and they announced that they had 41 pledges totaling $12,304. That's about $300 each. As we are launching our pledge campaign, I will say, we can do better. But a building program already was underway by April, and they just got started in February. By May, they received a proposal offering to sell 3 acres at $7,000 per acre, and Sandpiper Builders agreed to donate 2 more acres. By November of the same year, all of this is 1963, November, 50 years ago right now, Bishop Bloy of Los Angeles was asked to call the Reverend Peter Brownlee, my predecessor, as head of the mission. And he became vicar, that means the priest in charge of a mission congregation, on December 30th, 1963. Now, as George notes, that same year recalled several other events. Winston Churchill became an honorary citizen of the U.S. President Kennedy was assassinated in November. Jack Nicklaus won his first master's. Dr. DeBakey first used an artificial heart to take over circulation during heart surgery. And perhaps most significantly, the Dodgers beat New York 4-0. You'll forgive me, I hope, for spilling a little into 1964. Because by January 9th, an article was published in the Desert Post reporting that the first worship services were held by St. Margaret's Episcopal Church when an overflow of more than 70 persons attended the 11 a.m. services in the improvised facilities of the Fairway Cafe conducted by Peter Brownlee. And you and I sit in that legacy. You and I have inherited a dream that began 50 years ago. And the question at the beginning of our 4-year process, I say it's 4 years because a church doesn't just happen overnight. Everything that I just described to you happened in 1963. But in between were all the building projects, all the formation of ministry. And it wasn't until 1967 that St. Margaret's was incorporated in the state of California and became a parish. That means a self-sufficient congregation. And Peter Brownlee became its first rector. What are we to do 50 years later with what we've inherited? Is it ours just to enjoy the building, enjoy the music, enjoy the incredibly attractive pastors? Or did God lay a foundation for you and me to do more? Well, you can guess which way I'm going with this. I want to suggest that in the coming year, we devote ourselves to the spiritual discipline of discernment. Discernment is not just kind of a fancy way of saying figuring it out. Discernment is a spiritual discipline that involves opening ourselves to the will of God as expressed through the Holy Spirit and figuring out together through careful listening, through prayer, and through sacrifice what it is that God would have us do and be. And in the coming year, I suggest, I propose, I call on us to enter a full year of prayerful discernment. And we'll help you. We'll give you the tools you need to discern God's will. I have a glimpse. I have some sense of what it might look like. It's characterized by 4 things that I can see. First of all, I believe that in the next 50 years of our life together, that you and I are called more boldly than ever to recall and retell and to understand, to read, mark, learn, inwardly digest our own story, that we not forget who we are as God's people. It is not one bit unusual for Christians and Jews to get together over and over, year after year, and retell their story, because it's important in that retelling not only that we not forget who we are, but that we continue to be who we are. We do this not out of any kind of fear of what we might lose if we were to forget. Rather, we do it out of pride, out of purpose, because we know that God called us to a place and calls us still. Turgot was Bishop of St. Andrews. And after the death of St. Margaret's, during her lifetime, he was the archdeacon in Scotland, but after Margaret's death, Margaret's daughter Matilda asked him to write a biography of her mother. And so he did, and among other things, he was a prolific writer, but among other things, he said of Margaret, "I admire the fact that among the tumult of lawsuits, among the manifold cares of the kingdom, she worked hard and with wonderful zeal at divine reading," that's discernment, "which she used to debate with the most learned men of the kingdom while they sat beside her asking subtle and wise questions. And just as no one among them was more profound in mental ability, so no one was more profound in eloquence," he says. "Usually it fell out that the wisest men themselves went away from her wiser than they had become." That, to me, is the first thing. People should leave this place wiser than they came. People should come here for the very purpose of understanding what God would have us to be, and leaving wiser than they had come. Here's the second thought. In the last 50 years, a whole lot of social and institutional structures, as you're well aware, have crumbled. It used to be that there was no shortage of people to tell you how to think, what was right, what was wrong, how to conform. Nonconformists are nothing new. But what has happened in the last 50 years, in my view, is the breakdown of all of those structures, which has been helpful on some levels because it has set people free to be everything and everyone that God has called them to be, has left us in a sense of moral vacuum, because we're not entirely sure where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to be. Many of us find ourselves night after night reading the paper, watching TV, calling stories up on the internet, and shaking our head at what our world is becoming, but we're not very good anymore at doing something about it. The fact is that the world we have is the world you and I will build together in this place. Now, Christianity taking a role in politics is nothing new. But what is, if not new, at least distinctive to the way that St. Margaret's approaches things, is that we don't start with some moral agenda where we're going to come and tell you what's right and what's wrong. Rather, we come with the assumption that the Holy Spirit still to this day is breaking through in the hearts and minds of God's people. And that when we gather as the people of God and share with each other what we're hearing, that work of discernment happens. And it's for that reason that I will take exception with people who tell me that they object because preaching here has become too political. Let me tell you that politics is exactly the work of the people of God in this place. Now, it would be wrong of me to stand up here and just present my own views as gospel truth and tell you this is right and everything else is wrong. But it is my job to stand up here and say to you that we as the people of God need to think together and listen to each other and be bold about what we're going to do in the world in response to the challenges that God puts in front of us in the form of the people of God. Margaret herself was a bold political figure. The word politics itself means city. And we are the people of God, and we are a city built on a hill. We are not some cheap political action committee with an a priori agenda. We're not just another loud liberal voice amongst all the others in California, but we are a community of discernment. We're a community of intellect, and we're a community of action. The third is this: you don't have to look around much at all to see that despite the wealth, despite the privilege of the people of this community, we have a fractured and walled-off community. The things that divide us are enormous. Whether it's the divide between rich and poor, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, people who are wounded by broken relationships, by death, by failure, by betrayal, by loss, by fear. God calls us to be a place of holy relationships, of connections, of becoming the body of Christ, of binding ourselves to each other with ligaments. Troy and I have a role in this as priests. But it's important, I believe, that we all awaken the priesthood in each of us and be pastors to each other and bind each other up. Margaret herself was an example. She was a queen, and she was a friend, a wife, and a mother. And finally, and maybe most obviously, what I see in our future, and I think we have both the means and the responsibility to do it, we have, without question, the best worship and music for miles around. And we have people who work hard and ply their talent to make it so. And we can do more. There are people, as incredible as this sounds, there are people who have no use for bagpipes. I don't understand that. I'm just going to tell you, these are weird people, but there are people who experience the holiness of God entirely differently than we do. And we can expand. And we can be more comprehensive, and we can be not all things to all people, but more things to more people. And I believe God calls us to do that. I call on us over the next 12 months, this first of 4 years in our 50th anniversary celebration, that we be a people of prayer and discernment, and that we dream together holy dreams, that we listen to those dreams and pay attention to what God is putting in front of us and consider it together and test the spirits together. And I pledge to you that 1 year from today, when I'm preaching, we'll be in a different place. We will have done our work. We will have discerned together where God has called us to go, and we will launch an ambitious effort 1 year from today to build and create the community that God calls us to be. Because you and I, over the next 50 years, are not called simply to inherit a great legacy. Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians, and I can hear George or Caroline Berkey saying these words. I could hear Peter Brownlee saying these words. I can hear Brad Hall saying these same words. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. And someone else is building on it. And each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. You and I will have the world that we build on that firm foundation. and it will be you and me doing the heavy lifting. And we're up for it. John writes, hang on, Paul writes, I get them mixed up. Paul writes, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. For I now only know in part, and then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And then John says it this way, beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. But what we know is this, when he is revealed, we will be like him. For we will see him as he is. My friend and my colleague, Andrew Green, I knew Andrew for years before I came here. We worked together for years in Illinois. And when I told him that I was considering a call to St. Margaret's, he told me his impression of you. It's a good one. He said, Lane, it's no accident that St. Margaret's is built into a mountain, built into the very rock of the side of the mountain, up on a hill. It's a city on a hill put up there for the entire valley to see. And St. Margaret's has important work to do. That's how the world sees you. Let me tell you how our Lord sees all of us. It was my privilege on our Holy Land trip to say this, to say these words of Christ to our pilgrims, and I say them now to you. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. It's a cliche, and I'm gonna say it. There's truth in cliches. Our best years are the next 50 years. I cannot wait to share that with you. Happy St. Margaret's Day, and God bless St. Margaret's Episcopal Church. Amen.